welcome one, welcome all to the Snail Trail 4x4 podcast. If you like going off-roading in Toyotas, wrenching on Toyotas, camping in Toyotas, and maybe even poking a little bit of fun at Toyotas, and of course, hearing about how fantastic stick welders are in Toyotas, then this is the podcast for you. That's right, ladies and germs. My name is Tyler, T-Y-L-E-R, just in case you guys
K-6
didn't know.
T-L-R.
I'll have a story about K6TLR in a minute. But joining me here in the studio today is Mr. KJ1MMY. K-Jimmy, how are you, buddy?
I'm awesome. Thanks for asking. How are you doing?
Doing pretty good.
Good. Yeah. Glad to hear it.
Yeah, I was a fun story to kick us off here. Our dumpster got delivered to the warehouse.
Oh, which one?
The good one.
Okay.
The one with the great customer service guy. But the dude that did the delivery, they have a hydraulic crane on the truck.
Oh, right.
To like pick up the dumpster and drop it down on the ground. Right.
Sure. So you don't wheel it down some ramps. Big ass heavy dumpsters.
No. And so, this old dude gets out of the truck, right? Super old dude. And he gets there and grabs these chains. And there are two chains that are connected in the center with hooks on either end.
Okay.
And they're designed so that you put them on, hook them onto these half-inch plate, 3/8 maybe, plates sticking up out of the tops of the dumpsters on the side that have holes in them. So the hooks hook into them, and then you lift the dumpster up evenly from each side, you know, twist over, drop it on the ground.
Got it.
Pull them off. This guy puts the chain on the crane and then maneuvers from the crane controls, maneuvers the crane and the chains over, hooks one side of the dumpster, picks it up out of the truck from the one side, drops it on the ground, like swings it out, drops it on the ground, and then unhooks it just by jiggling the crane.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So he did the whole job from the controls of the little crane, the hydraulic crane. Yeah. No. And had it all done in like 3 minutes. Wow. And I was just sitting there watching it. I was watching him. I was like, wow, that was cool to watch.
That's worth, how much is your delivery fee?
$50.
$50.
$50 worth of entertainment right there.
Skilled labor.
Yeah. But I was talking with him, and here's where this comes around now. He goes, yeah, this delivery is for my off-road radio, right? And I said, yep. He goes, what kind of radio stuff do you guys do? And I was like, well, you know, we do off-road radio stuff. So FRS, GMRS, MERS, ham radios. We do a lot of programming and modifications of radios right now. But, you know, we do other stuff too that's more an off-roading scene. He goes, are you guys actually ham licensed? I was like, yeah. He goes, oh, cool. Me too.
Yeah.
And then we ended up talking for like half an hour about ham radio stuff. So that's where the K6TLR came around from.
Oh,
your intro.
Thanks for circling that around for me. I was kind of confused how you immediately jumped to your garbage getting delivered.
Yeah. It was because the dude was a ham. Sense. It was a ham operator.
The guy was a ham. I get it.
Yeah. But he was also really good at what he did. It was impressive. So.
Yeah. Sounds like it.
Anyways, this is Monday's episode.
Yes, it is. And we have a great interview for people.
We do indeed. What do you know? Well, you know, but does people out there know what this Monday is kicking off?
Probably, if they listen to the last few episodes where we've kind of hinted at it.
Hopefully they're understanding.
Yeah, but April is
Tyler's month.
Woo! And more importantly,
no, not more. Okay, maybe more importantly, National Welding Month. Yeah. So we're kicking off Welding Month this month. We're not going to have a full month of welding content this time, but we have two, I think, really good welding interviews lined up for April. And we're kicking it off with one today.
Yeah.
That I met these gentlemen down at KOH, and we'll tell you guys how that happened. But yeah, Welding Month is coming along. That also means gift boxes are going out.
Yeah.
Because gift boxes are going out, that also means gift box tier is open.
Absolutely is. Mm-hmm. Should be. I did speak to Austin the other day, and he said, I reminded him that we needed to flip that switch. And he said, maybe I'll flip the switch, just not activate it.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know he could do that.
Yeah. So then everybody on April 1st can just, it'll click and not do anything.
That would be pretty funny.
And I told him, no, Austin.
Because everyone's going to email us. Yeah.
I said, we've been saying this isn't an April Fool's joke.
Morphlate has a product launch scheduled for April 1st.
Nice.
Yeah. So
maybe snail armor should. That'd be good. We're obviously we're talking a little bit in retrospect here, or
that's right,
behind the scene.
Or I always forget about that.
Like, what do we call that? Time traveling.
Yeah. So a lot of cool stuff going on for April. Gift boxes going out. We have them all ready, and they should be going out. I think they may have gone out last week.
Maybe have gone out already, mm-hmm. depending on how things go here at the Morflate studio.
Yeah. So be on the lookout for those. Let's see. So for this month's giveaway, we are also giving away 2 gift boxes.
Yeah. 2 surprise packages in the mail from us. Mm-hmm. Kind of like the birthday or the Christmas gifts.
Kind of. Yeah. Yeah. Except we're not competing this time, I guess. So, yeah, the gift boxes, and we realize that there's about 50% of the people entered for the giveaway are receiving gift boxes already.
Right.
But these gift boxes are going to be something that we don't think people are going to mind having multiples of.
No, I don't think so. I think it'll be one of those things that you're glad you got multiples of. Mm-hmm. They don't really time expire, and they could be used any time of the year.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to getting my gift box because I need to use some of it on a couple of things. I'm trying to figure out how to say this without giving any of it away.
I didn't know you were going to get one.
I thought I was getting at least some of the innards of the gift box.
Oh, depends if you're a good boy or not.
Oh, okay. Santa Claus.
So yeah, 2 gift boxes going out for this month's giveaway. The gift boxes came in, I think they're just under $100. I think they're like, or right around $100. Yeah. They're just right around $100. Yep. If you include absolutely everything, including the candy on the inside, they're probably right around $100. You're going to get a good little prize for you. Hopefully we don't have too many repeats, but I don't think that you're going to care.
No, I agree. I don't think you're going to care either. I think you're going to be happy about it. So cool stuff. As you guys start getting those gift boxes, post them online, post them on social media, show them off. Well, I guess hold off 1 week. That way people who are on East Coast have a little bit of time to get theirs before the surprise is ruined.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seems like we send them out and the California people get them almost next day.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, and then the East Coasters are like, don't tease it. Don't break it. You know? Yeah. So yeah, I guess it really depends on when we send them out, but just wait for a while. Maybe wait till next Monday because we do have an interview lined up for next Monday mm-hmm. as well that has to do with the gift boxes.
Yep. Cool stuff. So that's gift boxes. If you guys want to get signed up for gift boxes, move tiers around. April is a great time to do that. Do that over at irate4x4.com. Really cool forum board that our buddy Austin runs. If you guys do end up moving or changing tiers, make sure you cancel your old tier. So we cannot cancel for you. You need to cancel it. So make sure you're proactive about doing that. We will send you email updates when we go and run the numbers if you are signed up in multiple tiers to give you a kind of heads up reminder. But we will keep your money anyways because we need more nachos.
That's true. But we do enter you multiple times for the giveaways because you entered yourself multiple times.
Yeah. So I think that's about it. Let's get on over and hand a microphone over here to Nico, shall we?
Yeah. Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Sounds good. So I guess without further ado, we're going to get on over and talk about some welding stuff.
About time.
I know. I'm so excited. I've been wanting to talk about this for a while on the episodes. I've been trying to keep my mouth shut.
Yeah. I think you've done a good job.
I've tried to. Yeah. So, we've got Lone Pine Industries in the studio today, and we're going to talk a little bit about welding and what they do. Chances are you may not have heard of them before, but they have a really, really cool product coming to market that I think is going to be really freaking fantastic. So grab your favorite drinks, grab some popcorn, grab some snacks and or some candy from your gift box. And we'll be right on back with today's campfire discussion with Nico from Lone Pine.
Are you tired of landing in potholes and bouncing off obstacles? To play at your full potential, correctly tuned coilovers allow you to float over the rocks and gain more traction. At Four Wheel Underground, our full suspension systems include custom tuned coilovers for your specific application. To learn more, visit fourwheelunderground.com.
Well, Welcome back, ladies, gentle ladies, kiddos, everybody out there. We have a fun episode today. This is the first Monday of Welding Month, as we were talking about earlier in the discussion. But Welding Month is, of course, April, National Welding Month, and we like to do some welding content, and we found a really, really cool thing, I think, to kick off Welding Month with. Fun story about how, I don't know if how you guys found me and attacked me, but, yeah, we have on the line here. We'll get into that story in a little bit, but here in the studio today, the virtual studio is Mr. Nico Argaris. Argaris. Okay. David literally just talked about this too.
Yeah. Even if after coaching, you're uncoachable, Tyler. You're
uncoachable. Right. That's true.
That's very true.
I will agree with that.
So thank Nico, you. Say hi to everybody, just so everyone kind of gets to know your voice, gets familiar with it here.
Sure. Thank you. I'm happy to be here. This is exciting. And I'm anxious to get into the story because it's so much fun as to how this happened.
And it is pretty fun.
So yeah, so I'm glad we were able to set this up and get it going to kick off Welding Month.
Yeah, man. So you are one of the co-owners of Lone Pine Industries, which is not too big of a company, not well known yet. But you guys have a really, really nifty product that you're coming out with that I immediately was like, I need one. As soon as you said what it was, I was like, I need one. This is exactly what I've been looking for. I've been waiting for somebody to develop this, and you guys had it, and I was immediately hooked. So it's obviously, with being Welding Month here, we're talking about a welder. Tell us a little bit about what you have that got me so excited. And yeah, let's start there. What is this that we're all going to be talking about today?
Sure. So the product, the magic product that you're referring to, is we have a rechargeable battery pack powered welder. So we have a trail welder that is completely portable. It's lightweight and it's rechargeable. So you can take it on the trail. You can throw it in any vehicle. It's not limited to just one vehicle. It can travel with you in side by side, a trail rig, whatever it might be. So we looked around and we really didn't see that there was a product that fit this need, especially the portability component, as well as the, you know, the lightweight and the rechargeable nature of it. So we went to work on that, and that's what we showed you. We wrangled you in at King of the Hammers, and we did our little demo. So that's essentially what it is. It's a self-contained battery powered welder.
That's cool. And well, I don't want to get into exactly what sets you apart, because there's one other one that we're actually fairly good buddies with here on the show that is a battery, it's fully self-contained battery portable welder, but yours is set apart. And it was funny because I was literally, so down at KOH is when we found you guys, when you found us, I was literally walking out of my trailer to go back down and help prepare dinner. And these two guys approach me and they're like, "Hey, how's it going real quick?" And I'm like, "Hey, no, yeah, not too bad." He goes, Is this your car? And you were pointing at our buddy Tony's Tundra, the black Tundra, right?
Right.
And I was like, "No, that's my buddy Tony." And you're like, "Oh man, we had some questions. We really like how this is set up and how he kind of chose the choices for his vehicle, his rig there." And I was like, "Yeah, he's done a really good job with it. It's really well thought out. There's a lot of cool stuff going on." And you're like, "Well, could we ask him questions about it?" And I was like, "Well, he's down making dinner right now. So no, because I'm hungry and I want dinner and he needs to continue working." So, and you were like, "Okay, well, what about this Land Cruiser right here?" And it was a white FJ80, which is Lee Lim's, our good buddy Re-Rim. And so I was like, "Nope. That's another buddy of mine. He's again down making dinner." And you're like, "Oh man, this is really well set up too." I was like, "Yeah, he's made a lot of really cool choices about it. There's a lot going on with the FJ80, blah, blah." And you're like, "Okay, well, you know, we're just actually walking around and, you know, can we ask you some questions and kind of, we have this product and can we just give you like a spiel about it real quick?" And I was like, oh, that's what these guys are doing. Okay.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. The truth is revealed. And I was like, man, I'm hungry, man. I need food soon. The food's cooking. I want to go down and, you know, make fun of the guys and poke fun at them while they're back there in their little kitchen gowns. And so I was like, all right, what's your guys' elevator speech? You got 30 seconds to tell somebody about your product. What are you going to tell me here? And you're like, well, it's a fully, and you kind of just did exactly what you said there. And, you're like, it's a fully self-contained, portable, a rechargeable welder. And I was like, oh, like a Carnage welder. And you're like, no, don't say that around us. And I was like, that's pretty much what it is. It's a self-contained battery powered welder, rechargeable. And you're like, no, but it's half the weight. And I was like, oh. And immediately I think my response was, oh, you guys figured out how to do it with lithiums. And you said something along the lines of, yeah, that's about it. And I was like, okay, I'm interested. You now have 5 minutes to tell me more about what's going on here.
Yeah.
And then from there, you're like, well, yeah, it's a, you know, it's all self-contained. You put the leads in and you can start welding there and you can hold all the rod in there too. And I was like, oh, hold on. You guys have a fully self-contained lithium battery stick welder. And you were like, yeah. And I was like, okay, now you have the rest of the night with me here. Let's, like, do you have this here? What's going on?
Dinner can wait right now. Yes, right?
Dinner can wait now.
I'm surprised he didn't invite you down to dinner, actually.
I know. You at least maybe threw me a little Scooby snack while we were there.
Right. Yeah. So immediately I was like, do you guys have this here with you? And you're like, yeah, we do. And I was like, can we weld with it? And you're like, yeah, we can. And I was like, okay, awesome. We need something to weld on. And I got this new trailer over here. Let's go weld on that, because welding on tailgates is typically not that great. And so I went over to the trailer. You guys brought the welder out and I had fun welding with it, playing with the welder. And then Lee Lim came out and, welded with it as well, and it burns so hot. What was the plate that you had there? Was it 3/8?
Quarter inch plate.
It was quarter inch plate. Lee burned a huge hole into the quarter inch plate and dropped a big old ball of slag onto my trailer and caught my trailer on fire. So
that was awesome.
It was pretty funny. Just how that all kind of came to fruition, and then you guys hung out for kind of the rest of the night. I think you left to go get food or something and came back, and we had a good time for the rest of the evening after that. But hooked immediately. So you have you're calling it the Arc Badger, correct?
Yep.
So Arc Badger, lithium batteries. So it only weighs, what you said, 26, 27 pounds?
So 25 pounds in the one that we demoed, the one that we had with us. 25 mm-hmm. pounds all in with everything.
Mm-hmm. And so, and what size is that, the case that it's in?
Yeah, the case is in a, ruggedized, you know, waterproof case. The dimensions are about 16 by 8, I believe, by about 6 inches deep. So really kind of a medium size Pelican style case, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
With, all the electrodes, you know, the rods, everything inside the case. So the only external ports on it are for the electrode, the ground, as well as the charging port. Everything else is in inside the case.
Inside the case, all protected from the elements.
Yep.
Nice. Yeah, it was impressive to not only see and notice that you guys were able to put such a cool self-contained system into a really manageable package there. But I was also very impressed with how well it performed. We were welding with, 1/8 rod?
Yeah, we had 1/8.
1/8 rod on
6013.
Yeah, 6013 on quarter inch plate. And it was burning through the plate rather easily. So it was impressive as to how much heat the welder was putting out. It was neat. Then kind of how you guys had accomplished kind of exactly what I was looking for. There's a handful of good trail welders out there. But there's no portable stick welders, and there's no trail welders that have been able to do this with lithium batteries yet. So you, that's kind of what, I mean, when we're looking at, you know, going rock crawling or going out rock landing, as Jimmy and I like to do, we're concerned about space, how much space things take up and how much weight things take up. So if we can save 20, 25, 30 pounds of weight in a portable welder, that's pretty freaking cool. So,
yeah, that was part of the idea. And the other thing about it was the portability aspect was important to us because of what we saw. There's a little origin story, and I don't know if you want to go into it now or you want to wait.
Absolutely.
The origin of the Badger was Mark, my business partner, and I, and as well as another buddy, we were in Moab, and we were doing the White Rim Trail, and we're at the bottom, all the way at the bottom of the canyon. This is in Canyonlands National Park, and the Colorado River runs along the bottom. It's really a kind of a scenic area, so we pulled off down there, and it's probably about 70 miles off the pavement, you know, 4x4 trail. And we get to the bottom, we're hanging out by the river, and we see a group of other guys roll up, and they have about four rigs. One was a super cool, like a 70 Bronco. It was all tricked out. Small block, had a supercharger on it. You can hear this thing whining. I mean, it was a sight, right? So we chatted them up a little bit because we're all in this little tiny parking area. We had to kind of jockey around to get all the vehicles in there. Anyway, I think these guys were from Oregon, and we just, you know, seemed like really cool guys. We hung out for about 10 or 15 minutes, and then we told them that we got a campsite. So we actually had a permit to camp at the bottom in the canyon. There's a handful of permits that are available. So we were able to secure one of these for the night. So we told them where we were staying and all that. So we said our goodbyes and headed on our way. Well, later on, almost dark, we see one of the pickups from their group coming towards our camp. And we didn't see any of the other vehicles. We just saw this truck rolling up towards where we were camped. And we're like, I wonder what this guy's up to, you know? So he rolls up, puts the window down, and he has this kind of sheepish look on his face. And he's like, hey, I know that this is a long shot, but do you guys happen to have a welder? And at the time I was like, no, you know, but then immediately I was like, but that would be super cool, wouldn't it? If we did, you know? And so we said, well, what happened? And they said, well, we broke a tie rod on the Bronco and we can't get it out. It's down there by the river still, and we can't get the thing out. And he said, it's probably going to be about 4 hours to get back out to the pavement. We're going to have to take it into town, have it welded up, come back. You know, it's a whole day, basically.
Yeah.
And so after he left, you know, I'm looking at Mark. He's looking at me. We're like, that would be ideal, right? If we could have a trail welder on site and have it with us. And it could be one of them that we just have between us. You know, there's three of us. Maybe we could share it. Who knows, right? At least we have one amongst the three of us. And it's portable, so any one of us could take it with it. This is kind of what we were thinking about while we were down there. You know, you're having a beer, you're thinking about what just happened. And so that was the origin story of where the Arc Badger came from. I mean, we just, once we got back from the trip, I started to kind of think through some of the critical components and kind of the size consideration and all that. And here we are.
That's cool. Where is your guys' background stem from? Are you guys welders? Have you dealt a lot with welders in the past, or what made you think that you're like, oh yeah, let's just build a freaking portable welder. Let's do it.
Exactly. No, that is a question that we get sometimes too. It's like, well, how did this, amongst all the things you could probably, you know, you could consider making, why would you make a welder? Why would you make a stick welder on top of that? Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so, both of us, we've known each other since we were kids. We went to high school together. We go back decades. And before we could even drive, you know, we lived in kind of a rural area, and we lived probably about a half a mile from each other. So we were close. But when we were kids, we didn't have transportation and we were somewhat isolated. It wasn't like we were in a big city. So we had all kinds of, you know, time, and we'd look for resources and just, you know, we were makers, we were tinkerers as kids. And so everything as a kid we started off with was made from wood, because wood was easily accessible. There's always wood laying around. Parents always had woodworking tools. So we would make everything out of wood, just whatever it was, we would just make projects. Well, then in high school, we just were lucky enough to have a high school that was also an ROP training center, which ROP is a regional occupational program. It's like a trade school that was offered for adults, like a night school for trades.
And oh, that's
so, cool. Yeah, it was really cool. So our campus, our high school campus was a, it was also an ROP training center in the evening. So the benefit was
we need more of those. We need more of those to come back.
I totally agree with that. It's it's something that's so valuable that's gone away, and I'm a huge advocate of the trades. But not to get derailed, what ended up happening is that because of that partnership with the ROP, they made a deal so that the high school students could also take industrial arts classes and use all of the equipment that was designed for training adults in the trades. So it was fantastic. It was a great opportunity. So that turned into, you know, metal shop, automotive shops, construction, electronics, all of the trades that that they offered there were offered to us as students. So once we went through the metal program and learned how to weld in high school, everything was metal after that point.
Yeah.
We kind of just left the wood. The wood just was left behind after that point, right? Everything was from metal at that point on, right? Moving forward. So that's where originally it started. And then to give you, I mean, we can speed it up. There's a whole lot that happened in between there. But later on, just towards the tail end of high school, we actually were working together for Mark's girlfriend at the time. Her dad had an ornamental iron business where he would make decorative fencing and gates and all of that. And so Mark and I were his two fabricators, essentially, when we were, you know, late high school and just out of high school. So we would roll around and fabricate, you know, pool fencing. We would also do, you know, ornamental iron gates, you know, with actuators on them for, you know, your driveway. We would do all that stuff as kids. And, you know, we thought it was great fun.
You ever build anything for Burning Man then too?
Not yet. and I say that because I've wanted to go now for so many years. And I even put in an application and I didn't get it the first time and I was a little discouraged, but I'm going to keep putting my apps in until I get it.
Nice.
So, so that's kind of the origin of, you know, we had some experience in welding. Mm-hmm. Which then translated into, hey, wouldn't it be cool if we had a welder, right? It wasn't just kind of a random thing. If we'd never welded and we didn't have that skill set, that would have been a whole another conversation. Right?
That would have been super weird,
That would have been really weird to think of all the things you could come up with, right?
To come so up were with you growing, welder. Did you guys grow up in Lone Pine? Are you still in Lone Pine? How did the Lone Pine business come around?
Yeah, Lone Pine... There's nothing, we don't have any history in Lone Pine other than, one, we love Lone Pine as a cool place, right? Lone Pine is essentially the gateway to the Sierras.
It's the Eastern situated, Sierras.
What's that? The Eastern Sierra, right?
Yeah.
There are so many cool landscapes, off-roading opportunities. You know, you're central, right? You have Mount Whitney, Whitney Portal, Alabama Hills is all just west of town, essentially in Lone Pine. And then you go east and you're in Death Valley. You know, there's so much cool, there's so many cool landscapes and opportunities that are surrounding that area.
Yeah.
So we would frequent that area for trips and we really enjoyed it. And so when we were forming the business, you know, you're starting to think about what do we call this thing?
Sure.
And then it's also often a combination of like not only just what you like, but what's available in terms of a name. And so we picked that name because of its vibe. You know, we really enjoy what that represents. It's this gateway to this beautiful scenic place. And we were also able to connect all the dots, the technology dots, if you will, to make it a reality. So we didn't grow up there. We both grew up in Southern California where we both live now, San Diego County.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I've been to Lone Pine a few times, hiking Mount Whitney and it's, it's a fun little city. Shockingly, it's, you know, it's sort of in the middle of nowhere. you know, it is sort of a gateway area. Everybody passes through it one way or another off of 395, right, whether you're going to like Death Valley or up to Whitney Portal or heading up to Tahoe. You know, it's sort of a gateway area, exactly like what you're saying, but there's some fun stuff in that little town, well. So no, that was, I was kind of curious.
I think it's about 2000 people total, you know, yeah, if you look at the population, but you're right. It's a hub because from there you can, we did that trip, not this year or not 2022, but 2021. We did a trip, went through Whitney Portal. We stayed in Alabama Hills. We went through, mm-hmm, Mammoth. We went up to Mono Lake. On the way back down, we crossed over and went to Death Valley and spent a couple of days out there.
Cool.
So
are you more of a, air quotes, overlander? What do you have? What do you drive? Or actually, let's go back. Where did this all start in the off-roading scene? It sounds like you've sort of been in the off-roading community for a while.
So we'll step back into almost the beginning where Tyler was saying that we accosted him in his campsite.
Okay.
And the way that happened, I just wanted to add a little context to that, was that Mark and I were at KOH and we're going around and trying to get as much feedback on this, on our Arc Badger, right? And we were just, you know, rolling into people's camps, just chatting them up and just seeing, you know, what we could get, how much information we could gather, you know, because this is something that it's not quite ready for prime time. It's not ready for market yet. But it's very close. And the prototype is, you know, it's a working prototype, but you know, you don't know. And, you always don't know what those questions might be or what those considerations are when you operate in a vacuum. Right. So
yeah,
we were out there just to collect as much information as possible. So the way that this happened, what I wanted to share was we had been talking to a bunch of people and it was late and we were tired. So we were driving, Mark has a Jeep and we were just kind of using that to get around the KOH. The lake bed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The lake bed. Right. And we were on our way out. We're thinking, let's go get something to eat. It's all around food, right? We're all talking about
food. Oh, yeah.
But as we're going, we saw the Tundra and then we saw the FJ or the 80 series. Well, mm-hmm, I have a 100 series. I have a Tundra. Mark has a Tundra. We're all Toyota, you know, so he has the smart cap on the back of his with the tent on the top of that and, you know, kind of built it out that way. Mine, my 100 series is the one man RV. You know, that's what my kids call it.
Yep. Okay.
You know, everything's built out on the inside. So you just basically, it's stealth, you know, you just pull up and just get in the back and
cool.
It has a platform and, you know, you're done. Yeah. And so that came after several evolutions of, you know, do we want to sleep on the ground? Do we rooftop tent? What do we do? But ultimately, when you get in some harsh environments, there's nothing better than just opening the back door and climbing in and being done with it.
Yeah, there's something definitely to be said about that.
That is something we didn't cover in our last Monday's episode.
Right. So that's that 100 series I've had since it was new. And so I just sent a message to Toyota. They have a high mileage club or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, they just launched that recently.
Right. Yeah, and I have 315,000 miles on 100 series.
Nice. Awesome.
Original motor, never been rebuilt. Everything's original in the engine. And so obviously accessories that have been replaced along the way, but so the 100 series was the go-to for a number of years. I just this year bought the Tundra and am going to be building that out as well. And so
which year Tundra did you get?
I got a 16, which has the 5.7 V8. It has the towing package, it has the lockers, it has, you know, it's well set up, but it, the 100 series, you know, on longer trips, it was starting to worry me because I'd go, with Mark and with our other buddy, Kevin, who lives in Boise. You know, it's usually like a 2,000 mile trip.
Wow.
And that's minimum. That's without the off-roading. That's just the pavement part of it. It's 2,000 miles. And so the last time when we went to Moab last year, you know, these guys, Kevin's truck's brand new, and then Mark's truck is newer, and I had the old Hundo, and I was struggling, you know, to keep up with these guys because fully loaded, you know, mine has I've got the Prinzu rack and with, you know, 270 awning on it and fuel and water and, you know, provisions. So I'm probably running another 500 pounds on this thing.
Easy.
Yeah,
easily 500 pounds. And so on some of these long grades, the Olexi was feeling it. hence the Tundra and the Tundra build, you know, upcoming for this year. Nice. So that's kind of been our style. So mostly to answer the question, yeah, mostly overland style. We don't do a lot of rock crawling. We're just more about adventuring.
Yeah. Right.
That's cool. Yeah. Longer distance trips, being able to just kind of get out there and go exploring is, I think that's something that speaks to a lot of people out there. So that's cool. So you've been doing that for a number of years. You're building out a Tundra. You said the build for this year, what's on your plate for the Tundra for this year?
So it's bone stock, you know, so we have an open canvas on this one. So really I told Mark, which is kind of funny, prior to even considering the Tundra, at one point I said to him, probably last year, I said, look, I hope you're not offended, or it's not going to be a problem if I end up with a Tundra and I build it out and it's almost exactly like yours, because we've collectively.
That's more of a compliment, isn't it?
It is, but I didn't know how to approach it, because I said, you've spent all of this time, and I really appreciate his perspective and his thought process around, you know, the build. And so why redo it again, right? He's already figured it out.
Yeah.
And so that's why I kind of led with that. And I said, you wouldn't be mad if I just like duplicated your truck. Kind of just, you know, shortcut the whole process of having to think through all this and then buy and, you know, try and take it off and redo it and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, oh, of course not. No problem. Well, then sure enough, this truck shows up, and it's actually our buddy that lives in Boise who we do these trips with. He texted me. And he said, hey, by the way, my neighbor is going to be selling this truck if you guys know anyone who's interested.
Yeah. And, ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding. So, of course, you know, I'm like, got any pics? You know, let's see, right? So the next thing you know, I get these photos and I'm like, oh, gosh, this is a nice truck. And it super, it I goes. Mean, it was a 16, right? And only had like 39,000 miles on it.
What?
It was like wow. Yeah, it was a brand new truck. Jeez. So anyway, so I got on a plane, I flew to Boise, bought the truck, and then drove it back. So the fun part about that is, you know, Kevin, who lives in Boise, I don't see him that often, right? But he's like, hey, I'll tell you what, I'm going to take the day off from work. This is a Friday. I'm going to take the day off of work Friday. He goes, and I'll ride with you down to Vegas. And I was like, that would be awesome. So it was like a 10-hour drive, so we get to hang out. So. So we leave Boise in the morning, we head for Vegas. And so it was about 10 hours by the time we got there, and I pulled into the airport, the departures, dropped him off on the curb.
Nice.
And I kept going.
Home. Wow.
And he flew home and I just kept going.
That's cool.
So, it was awesome. That was such a great way to go too. Right. We got to hang out for like 10 hours, just, you know, catching up. And
road
he's
trips
also
are so fun. Mm-hmm.
So we also grew up together as well. So he knows Mark, and we all grew up in the same town as kids, and we went to high school together. So that was really cool. We were able to do that. So back to your question, Tyler, you know, we got kind of derailed, but essentially the Tundra build, you know, there's so many ways you can go. It depends on what your primary interests are. And for us, it's more overlanding expedition style, right?
Yeah.
So probably I like that smart cap. It's really a functional way to go. It's all steel. It's stainless steel. So one of the coolest things about that is all the mounting options that are available to you when you're dealing with a steel cap.
Uh-huh.
All you need is magnets. You can solve everything with magnets, right? Because it's a whole steel cap.
Yeah.
Anyway, they make a lot of accessories as well. So probably a cap like that, probably a rooftop tent solution, you know, wheels, tires, suspension, bumpers, you know, standard stuff. But
nice.
just to get it ready for those longer trips, because, you know, 2,000-ish miles on pavement each, you know, is quite a bit. So you want to make it comfortable, but then also be able to get out there.
Yeah. I think that Jimmy and I were talking about it, I think from last year's Overland Expo PNW when we were out at there. There was a lot of full-size trucks that were getting kitted out and built out. And I was like, well, yeah, that just kind of makes so much more sense than the mid-size trucks for this kind of long distance expeditioning kind of thing. Yeah. I was like, it just makes so much more sense. Your capacity, your payload capacities are so much more, they're more comfy typically. There's a lot of extra benefits of doing full-size trucks. So building out a Tundra for expeditioning, that would be, I think, a lot of fun. There's a lot of different ways you can take it and a lot of different decisions you can make. And yeah, ultimately it comes down to, you know, what do you want to prioritize? So
right.
I think that's cool. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So that's what we're looking forward to for this year, and give Lexi a little break, you know, put her out there so that we can do some short trips. You know, from us, we have Anza Borrego, which is just east of where we are.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So we have that whole playground out there, and it's about an hour and 20 minutes away. So we often get out there, and that's a perfect environment because it's not that far. You know, we can get out there and do a day trip or a couple of days trip.
I've only been to Borrego once, and it was only for a very short stint. And all I really remember is it's just sort of flat desert roads. Is there anything semi-technical out there, or are there hills? Like, I really don't remember much about that area.
Yeah, there are. There's a little tiny spot on the map. It's called Ocotillo.
Yeah, and Ocotillo Wells. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's Ocotillo and there's Ocotillo Wells. They're two different places.
Oh, really? And okay.
Yeah, yeah. So Ocotillo Wells is flat, like what you're describing, Jimmy. It's just flat land. In Ocotillo, it's actually closer. It's further west, and so it abuts the mountain range that separates San Diego, let's say, and then you go up and over a range, and you get to Anza Borrego on the other side, and Ocotillo. Okay. Mm-hmm. So Ocotillo is the first place you come to in the flats after you come out of this mountain range. And so there's a lot of rock crawling there. There's some technical trails out there as well. I think it's called Valley of the Moon is out there, which is a real popular Jeep and crawler trail out there.
Okay.
But all that stuff's about, you know, an hour away. So it's not, nice. It's not terribly far. Yeah.
Yeah.
But when you get out to...
I know that there's that famous trail out that direction with a squeezed canyon. I believe it's down there in the San Diego area.
The slot canyons.
Is there a concern about the full size rig going out in that area? Would be my concern about building a full size vehicle is that I can't take it everywhere.
Well, that's the thing. You know, we noticed that, and we had this conversation in Moab, right? Because you're on the White Rim Trail. And at this time, Mark had his Tundra. I had my 100 series. And then Kevin has a new Ranger. So it's small truck.
Yeah.
And so after we're kind of going through some of the technical spots there, we're thinking, well, you know, I don't see that you could do this with anything bigger than the Tundra. Like at this time, the Tundra didn't have much of a lift. It had a small lift on it, maybe like 35s on it. But if you wanted to take a trailer, if you wanted to do anything like that, it wasn't happening, right? That was not going to happen. And there were some areas where there was some overhang as well. And you're creeping through there and it was tight. You know, fortunately, I wouldn't have done it by myself had I been in the Tundra, but fortunately, you know, Mark had two spotters and us. And so we were able to get him through those spots. But yeah, you're right. We said there is going to be a time where we're going to have to limit the places that we go based on what the rig ends up looking like.
Yeah. The vehicles you want to take.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. Cause so you can take Anza, the 100 series on the flip side.
Yeah, we can take the 100 series out there in Borrego and Anza Borrego. That's perfect. There's no issues there. So
do you get out to Red Rock Canyon very much?
Do not. Not yet.
Okay. That's a place. A lot of people like Mojave and Death Valley. But I think Red Rock Canyon's kind of out in the similar area there. But it's I don't know. I like the scenery it's way more interesting to me than Death Valley or Mojave in Red Rock Canyon. So, cool, man. Back to, welder stuff a little bit.
Yeah.
What made you guys decide to do a stick welder?
Yeah. That's my number one question.
Yeah. True. Versus MIG or anything else, the trail welder. Why stick?
So there's a couple of design considerations that led to the stick. And one is the simplicity of it, right? That is dead simple. There are no moving parts, right? There's nothing to break, especially in the environment that you're going to be in, right? If you can limit what could go wrong, that was really paramount in the decision-making process. Let's make it as simple as possible. Let's have the fewest moving parts, but then let's make it as effective as possible, because really, with changing rods, really, you can accomplish a number of different things. Whereas with MIG, you're kind of one way, you know, you have wire, you could change the welding wire a little bit if you wanted to, but it doesn't have the same flexibility and the variety that you can get with a stick welder. Mm-hmm. So we thought that that would hit the all the considerations, the design considerations, plus the versatility in being able to use a stick welder in just pretty much any situation.
Yeah, that's my big reasoning for wanting stick welders on the trail. You know, MIG is easy to use, but stick, once you just get used to paying attention that you're feeding the wire, stick is really not that bad. And the benefits you get from stick are exactly what you just explained. There's multiple materials you can do just by carrying, you know, a couple different rods here and there. You can do cast a lot easier than with MIG. And you can even do aluminum with a stick. There's a 40-43 rods. You know, there's lots of different, the versatility of doing stick on a trail is, in my opinion, huge. The other big benefit to stick is being able to get it into tighter spaces. Because a lot of times if we're working on a vehicle, say you have a broken tie rod underneath a rig. I mean, yeah, you can take the tie rod off and, you know, put it on the ground and weld on it. But if you have a cracked frame, a cracked A-arm, a cracked whatever it is that you need to weld up underneath a vehicle, a lot of times you're going to be a little more constrained on space. And it's not always easy to get a MIG welder wire feed into that space in order to weld what you need to weld. Being able to bend stick rod around objects in order to weld on things is another big benefit. So the versatility of it, that was what really got me interested in it, because nobody's done really a portable trail stick welder yet. I mean, you could take two batteries together and a couple leads off of it and do that, but I hate pulling car batteries.
It sucks. And that's the idea of being able to be portable. You're not limited. You know, you could do this if you were by yourself and you needed to weld and you didn't have two car batteries, right? Mm-hmm. There's a problem right there.
Yeah.
Or being able to put it in a different vehicle. Like for me, right? If I'm in the 100 series or if I'm in the Tundra, you know, I don't want to have two different setups, one for each vehicle. I just want to take the Badger and go.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point too. I've always only had one off-roading vehicle. Jimmy has two technically now, but I just got a second one recently and I'm kind of like, I don't feel comfortable going off-roading without a welder because I've gotten so used to having one. But I'm like, God, do I really want to try and find a way to shove a Premier into the Bronco, this new Bronco, and mess with the factory electronics on it and everything? Or I just get a portable freaking stick welder that only weighs 25 pounds. That's crazy. Right. When seeing it all in action, getting to weld with it, and knowing what I was ultimately looking for out of a portable trail welder, and seeing you guys hit every single one of those check marks was pretty freaking cool. Yeah. So that's why I like stick welders for the trail, just exactly what you're saying. And so when I saw that you guys were making a portable trail stick welder that only weighed 25 pounds, I was like, I am in. Sign me up. I'm going to need one for the other rig as well. So being able to move it between vehicles, hand it off to people. One of my favorite things about portable welders is, you know, obviously there's a lot of times when somebody comes into the camp, like you guys down in Moab, and they're like, hey, does anybody got a welder we can use? And a lot of times if I'm the only one with the welder, it's because I have the Premier and it's tied to the vehicle, which means that then I have to go and take my vehicle over to them. And which means I usually end up doing the welding too, because it's a relatively complex system to run. The premiere is you have to run it a very particular way. Whereas with this, you can just hand them the case and be like, yeah, here, bring it back when you're done.
Right,
I'm going to sit around here and continue drinking around the fire, or making dinner or whatever it is. So,
right. Right. Or you can ask them how many extra beers that they have.
Yes. Yeah. How many beers is it
and
worth?
Then decide who's going to do the welding, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm a big fan of it. You guys are looking at doing other stuff too with Lone Pine, other than just the welder. I think that the welder's, my guess is, it's going to turn into your main product, but do you guys have other products too that you've been working on? What are some that's of those correct. Other things?
Yeah, that's correct. You know, and Jimmy and I were talking about that. Most of the products that we work on are out of necessity. You know, it's something that we've come across and that we can't find a solution for. And so we just, between the two of us, start to hatch a plan and an idea around it, and then look out and say, you know, maybe there's someone else that could use this. So I think we might have mentioned a Jeep TJ Jeep bar that we had made. Well, I think we had it at KOH.
Yeah, you had one, I think, installed on the Jeep, and I think you also had like a bare metal prototype one with you.
Yep. So we're into production on those. So it's for the Jeep TJ, and it's essentially a communication mounting platform, if you will. I mean, essentially it's a bar that fits to the dash, 1-inch diameter tubing, with a hoop around the center of it. So you can mount, you know, ham radios, CBs, whatever comms, GPS and all that. And we've made it so it bolts in using the existing, 4 bolts that hold the dash on in the TJ.
Oh, nice. So nobody's essentially having to really modify anything.
Yeah, there's no modification at all. In fact, it's just 4 bolts in and out. And then from there, you have a platform that you can mount using, you know, like a RAM mount, 1-inch diameter RAM mount, or, you know, choose your vendor. But essentially, then you have a whole variety of options for mounting comms or phones or GPS units or whatever. So we have those in production now. We're selling those on our website. But the majority of the things that we work on come out of necessity, you know, a need or a hole in the market where nothing exists. So it's open. We're product or brand agnostic. You know, we really aren't particularly working on one thing.
I like that. That's one of the things I love about the kind of the off-roading world. There's a lot of people that can build stuff. They're very hands-on people, right? And so you get those people into weird situations with weird equipment, and they're like, man, this could either be done way better, or there's nothing here to fix this pain point. We were talking with, we had a Devos on recently that does the Light Ranger. It's a really cool camp light. The one I had out at KOH.
Oh yeah, I saw that one, yeah.
So, and they were like, I love the way that they kind of think about it in terms of their pain points out there, with doing things as a human, and, you know, what are ways to help lessen those pain points on people to solve a problem or to do something. Right. And so, yeah, it's always, I love running into people who view the world that way, is like, oh, here's a pain point over here. How do we help solve this for people?
Right.
Then they can have the creativity to build something or figure out that problem solving process to make it better. So I think that's really cool.
So if people want to get more information in regards to the welder or things that you are doing, you mentioned earlier that you have a website up. What is that website, and let everybody know for the audio side. And then I'll also add a link in our podcast description for people to click on to go check that out. And go ahead.
The website's at lonepineindustries.com. Very straightforward. We're also on Instagram, same handle, Lone Pine Industries. And what we hope to do is we have currently on the website, an interest list, a sign up form for the welder. We have this as a prototype. It's a working prototype, but we're making some adjustments to it to make it a consumer product. And so if you're interested, or if someone's interested in being notified as soon as it's ready to roll, then you can sign up on the website. And also we'll be posting something on Instagram as well on our channel.
What channel is that?
Lone Pine Industries. That's the name of the handle on Instagram.
Okay. Perfect.
And so that's our primary mode of communication, either from the website, you can sign up and be automatically notified, or we can notify you via social. So the other products right now, we currently are marketing that that Jeep TJ bar on the website as well. Mm-hmm. And then anything that anything subsequent to that, we'll just be adding to the store.
Cool. I like it. So everybody go check out Lone Pine Industries. You have a couple of videos up on the Instagram of the Arc Badger working and kind of showing what it is, how it's all encapsulated into one neat little package. So people can go check that out as well. Do you have an idea, rough time estimate on when you're going to be ready for production and full bring to market phase?
Sure, sure. We're looking at this fall. So right now we're just trying to essentially, you know, we have the working prototype, but what we're working through is, in order to be comfortable to release this to the general public, mm-hmm. you know, we need to think of everything, every potential use case, every way that you could possibly use this or drop it or, you know, put the cables in backwards or something, right? So,
yeah.
So we want to make sure that we have that nailed down before we're comfortable to put it out in the market, and so that we've battle tested it essentially in every mm-hmm. in every way. We want to have it out in the field. So we have some units right now that we're going to put in the hands of some capable folks and let them just run it and see what happens, get their feedback, and make sure it's operating as designed and as intended. Nice. So by the fall, I think that we'll have all that ironed out. In fact, we're going to be going to Overland Expo PNW this year.
Nice.
And that's in July. I believe the dates are July 7th through the 9th.
Sounds about right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll have a prototype with us there as well. So we can be doing, we'll do some demos.
Oh, cool.
And so if anybody wants to follow along, we're not going to have a formal booth, but we will be there the entire time. And so probably on social, we'll post there and probably set up a time where we can do some demos. And then maybe by that time, by July, we'll be ready to take some pre-orders as well.
Cool. I like it.
So people can find you on your Instagram handle, Lone Pine Industries, and try and connect with you up at, Overland Expo PNW to,
yeah,
to play absolutely. Around with it. So that'd be pretty fun. I think Tyler and I are both going to be up there. Maybe we'll mm-hmm. hit you guys up and we'll try to connect and I'll learn how to do some stick welding. I have no idea how to do it. At least try.
Maybe we can burn another hole in Tyler's trailer.
Perfect. I like this idea.
Oh man, here we go.
I think this is going to be a theme.
Yeah.
Anybody awesome. Need to weld? There's a trailer right over here.
There's a trailer over here.
Perfect spot.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, awesome. Nico, thanks again for sitting down, taking the time to hang out with us and kick off welding month here with the Arc Badger and Lone Pine Industries. So,
thank you. Product, it's been a pleasure. A lot of
fun.
Yeah,
man. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to seeing this come to market. I am going to be your first customer. So I'm going to keep bugging you until we get this out.
Yeah, I know. I know you've been very, very vocal in this mm-hmm. way. So I'm with you. You're on my list at the top.
Sweet. Good. So yeah, I guess if anybody wanted to, had any other questions, for Jimmy and I, you guys can send those on into snailtrail4x4 over at Instagram or 4x4 Toyota Tyler. There's also the emails. You guys know how to do that. There's a voicemail. You can give us a call 916-345-4744. If you have any questions for Nico here, you can send those over to Lone Pine Industries on Instagram or send them to us and we can get them forwarded to Nico. Lots of cool ways to interact and get your questions answered about what we're talking about here today with the Arc Badger. So I think that's about it.
Sounds good.
Cool. Nico, you've listened to a few episodes now, so you know I like to put people on the spot. We'll start with Jimmy. Jimmy, final words for everybody out there?
I just want to say congratulations to you guys and some of the other off-road companies out there for looking at the industry and trying to find what is missing and fulfilling that need. And mm-hmm. it's a It just shows the creativity of our industry and problem solving nature. And you guys are doing a fine example of that and bringing a product that's not out there and is unavailable to anybody in, you know, is not available at the moment to everybody, but you guys have found that need and you are bringing it out into the market today. So congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks very much. I appreciate that.
Nico, any final words for everybody out there?
No, you know, this has been a fun ride, you know, as we've developed the product and we've gotten, you know, we're relatively new, so we're still out there trying to get to know a feel for the marketplace. We're getting to know others in the industry. It's been fantastic. I mean, we've had a really good time being able to participate both as a business and in an area that we really enjoy, right? So these are places that we would love to go anywhere. It's not like, you know, here's a guy that's dreading going to a trade show for your work because, oh, it's just another trade show, right? This is like, I would have been doing that anyway. So we go to the expos, we go to all these places anyway. Why not be able to do that and also make new friends, make connections, and then also participate in the industry? We appreciate that.
I like it, man. Yeah, glad to see you guys out there in the industry. I think it's going to be fun to watch your guys' future and see where this all goes. So
thank you.
I guess without further ado, remember everybody out there, keep crawling.
I got one for you.
Okay.
Why did the fish blush?
I don't know.
Because it saw the lake's bottom.
Oh. Okay.